Jamie Locker here in the Green Zone. Thanks to the professionals for helping us update the budget for you rather than Locker and Jamie do it, because you should hear our
although many of you
updates
thought it was a really good idea for Jamie and I to break down blow by blow today's federal budget right here on the Green Zone.
Lots of deficit projections.
Can I
over $50 billion?
I think you'll enjoy this text. It's a truth or trash text.
Truth or trash from the if they sell out the stadium or not. If it's a black eye.
Yeah. West final. It's truth. Sell out. Need to sell it out. So it is a black eye. We are falling off the scooter, Saskatchewan, if we do not sell this game out.
It is a full-on scooter Locker face plant. Not alone. Need dental work if
you
can't,
Kirk,
sell out the West final.
That's my Locker text of the day.
Your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Brittany Gray.
Britton Gray is back with us to get you set. It was day one of practice, so lots of rider news going on with who is in, who is out, who's playing, who's not playing, who's injured, who's not. Last time we talked to Britton, the injury report wasn't quite out. It is now released. Here is the injury report. Everybody was a full participant except Shane Ray did not participate with a neck. Roland Milligan limited. And Keyshawn Johnson did not participate with a knee. And Mario Anderson Jr., running back, did not participate. Knee injury. Of those did not participates or limited in Roland Milligan, do you think any of them have a shot to actually be in the lineup or maybe on the practice field tomorrow for the Riders?
I think Roland Milligan will more than likely play this weekend. He's a guy who... Marcus Sales earlier this year didn't participate all week. All of a sudden, he's playing in the game. He's one of those guys who doesn't need a bunch of practice at this point to be out there. And, boy, the way Corey Mace answered about Keyshawn Johnson, I'm starting to wonder if maybe he still could have a chance. I'm leaning more under 50% than I was heading into the week with him not being out there. But seen it all year, Corey Mace is definitely willing to give guys that day one of practice off to have them out there for day two.
If he's on the cusp, though, right? Like, maybe good enough to play, but might still be feeling it a little bit.
He's playing.
Wouldn't you want to put somebody in ahead of him that might be, like, full?
Nope.
Okay.
It's the playoffs. If you're good enough to play and you're the best option, you are playing. There's no taking time off because if they're missing that guy, they don't maybe have next week if they miss a key part. So if Keyshawn Johnson is able to play, he will play.
So when you look at some of these other injuries, Tommy Stevens was practicing last week. We were seeing Trevion Tate for the first time in a long time. We really thought his season might be over, but he was injured early enough.
What was his injury?
A torn pec.
Torn pec.
I was going to say that.
Yikes. Usually
that's a long-term one
for the season. But what are you expecting, if anything, from Trevion Tate and how this offensive line might look?
I think he might get out there. I think this Riders team feels he offers the best opportunity there at some point along the offensive line. He is practicing a little bit more. He is doing more drills. And, boy, I think they do want to maybe do that with Trevion Tate. I mean, Philippe Danion suffered a torn pec as well. He was able to return. It's not out of the question he could do it. I'm very interested. He's one who I didn't think we would see, but now from last week, he was doing a little bit more last week. He's full now. He's not just limited. He's full. I think they might find a way to get him onto the roster.
Interesting.
I'm curious, have we had a chance, Britton, to look at the Lions injury report? Are there any names on that have sort of caught your attention?
Just the guys who were kind of limited heading into this last weekend as well. James Butler still dealing with that ankle injury. Justin McKinnis still dealing with that ankle injury. Dejon Allen, TJ Lee is on there. There's some guys who are limited. Of course, at this point in the year, you're surprised. You'd be surprised to not see some limited guys.
Yeah.
All the stuff they've gone
Shake
through.
It
just
off.
Playing a physical game against the BC Lions. But much like Keyshawn Johnson, if you're able to play and you're the best option, you will play in the playoff game.
Yeah, there is no did not participates for the BC Lions. They're either limited or full participants.
When do they come to town?
They will come Friday.
Okay.
They will land sometime in early afternoon. And, well, there's media availabilities at 2 o'clock at Mosaic Stadium. So on Friday ahead of the West
for
final.
A tropical weekend in Saskatchewan. It's going to be nice out.
But this team wants it cold, like, right?
They
like,
want it cold.
The Riders are like, let's go.
Colder
let's,
the better.
Let's bring on some wind chill factor here and freeze out the Dome Boys.
The kitties.
The kitties, as Greg was calling them. Yeah. Or Ivan, sorry, was calling them. But do you think weather will impact the BC Lions? Like, do you actually think when they arrive that there's a chance that they are not prepared for a wind chill of minus 10 and snow and can't play through it?
That will be something. I don't think so. These guys are professionals. We see all the time how people... Now, there is a bit of a dome effect you see in the NFL when dome teams travel out, sure, but it's playoffs. You find a way. Maybe you lean more on the run
it's
game
Canada.
Or something.
These guys, they've been around. Most of them have been around long enough, right?
I don't think the weather will be that big unless it's hurricane-like winds, in which case neither team's going to be able to throw the football.
We're looking at a 12-10 game if there's huge winds going on for that one, of course.
We did get an Ask Britain question on text. Darren from Rosh Percy, he said he wants to know what the jerseys are going to be this Saturday.
Well, based on my sources, a.k.a. looking at the helmets that...
Sources? What are you talking about?
The helmets that the Riders are wearing, and they've changed the logo from where they run out. They've announced it on Twitter already, actually, on X. It's the retro jerseys. They're wearing those retros, which...
Okay. You guys like that, right?
I like that.
I think they're the best.
They didn't have the greatest setup. Record this year with the Obsidian Green.
They're 1-1.
Okay.
They won I was surprised it wasn't Obsidian Green because they won the playoff game last year in Obsidian Green. So I thought they'd go back to it.
They've lost a game this year in Obsidian Green. It's cursed now. Can't wear them again. Bring back the black jerseys.
All righty. But the retro is what they're going with. That's what they're rocking for the West final. Of course, Britain will be here throughout the week to bring you up to date on the green and white ahead of the West final. Jamie and Locker with you. We'll update you on some of the other headlines going on in sports, including a busy NFL, a trade deadline, and a check-in on the Toronto Maple Leafs as well here on the Green Zone on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker, of course, a lot of local football this weekend. Not only the Riders, but you got the U of R Rams, the U of S Huskies, the Hardy Cup in Saskatoon at Griffith Stadium.
One of the conversations we've had that has threaded through the entire show today outside of the federal budget is this conversation about whether or not it's a sellout. And we had a couple of texts where parents were saying, listen, we wanted to go to the game, but our kids are playing football this weekend.
They're playing in the provincial final, so it's on Saturday.
So I wonder how much of an impact, like, the different programs at all levels, right, is having. There'll be 3,000 people up in Saskatoon, right?
No, no doubt. There's going to be a lot of football fans who would love to be at the Rider game, but yeah, they got kids' sports to go to.
Yeah.
And there's going to be hockey tournaments and hockey games as well this weekend around Saskatchewan. So,
not that that's an excuse not to fill the barn. I'm just saying that, you know what, that's probably part of the reason why we're sitting at 30,000 right now and not 33.
Oh, all those, like, you think of all the football families they would be there for sure.
Yeah.
If they had that crack. But again, it's pretty well, you know, football weekend in Saskatchewan. A shout out to everybody. High school championships, the 6-a-side, 1A, 2A, the 9-a-side, go Devils for Lumsden in Humboldt this weekend. Then you got the 5A and the 6A, 12-a-side high school championships. The 6A is on Friday night in Saskatoon between Miller and Holy Cross which should be Miller's going for yet another provincial title. They've been dominant over the last.
You've mentioned Miller.
Is it four out of the last five? Are they going for their fourth in their last five?
What is it about that program? Is that coaching?
It is built up. It's kind of flipped in Regina a little bit. It used to be Leboldis who was dominant. Now Miller's program is kind of taking over. And it's, there's recruitment in high schools and stuff like that too, on which high school you can try to get to.
It's very competitive.
Everywhere is like that. Not only Saskatchewan, everywhere is like that.
There was an interesting conversation when we had Sarge on, Tom, right? And he was talking about how the recruitment thing over his years, because he's been doing it for a cup of coffee, has changed, right? He's like, I got to go to the States now. I got to bring in these Americans.
You're allowed three, and it's the first time they saw. We had David Collins, the star running back. He's out of Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis, who's now running the ball for the Hilltops, and they'll be doing, again, haven't mentioned them yet. We did mention it when David was with us, but the Hilltops this weekend, the Canadian Bowl, it's a national championship game in Saskatoon.
Really nice kid, too. Before he came on, we found out he was really, really nervous, and I thought he did a great job. If you go back and listen to our podcast today, he's a good kid.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Good young man from Minnesota running the ball for the Hilltops, so enjoy the football this weekend. We'll have a preview throughout the week here on the Green Zone, of course, the Riders against the BC Lions in the West Final. Also, it was NFL trade deadline day today, and the New York Jets clearly are restarting again. I think this is the 12th consecutive year of the rebuild of the New York Jets.
That Colts trade is very interesting.
The Indianapolis Colts traded two first-round picks to New York for Sauce Gardner, one of the best young defensive backs in the National Football League, to help the Colts defense. Then the Jets traded Quinnen Williams, draft him third overall in 2019. He is now a Dallas Cowboy. They got a first, a second, and a player. So they have two first-round picks the Jets do in 2026, three first-round picks in 2027.
Colts lead the AFC right now.
Yes. And they got Sauce Gardner to lock it down on the corner. An interesting trade. Jacoby Myers got traded from the Raiders to the Jags today. There are some other deals around. Rashid Shaheed going to the Seahawks from the New Orleans Saints. So it was a busy trade deadline day in the National Football League, but the Jets are the big story. Now, can they find the right quarterback and probably the right coach? Because if you don't have those two things, can't wait for the new rebuild in New York in another 5 years. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Have you calmed down about Evan Bouchard, Locker?
No, because now I'm getting texts, and now I'm trying to find his plus minus for the season right now. Just, people are like, he scored on Saturday. He probably needed to score because he probably let it. That was the reason why the team was tied up in overtime to begin with.
He's a dash nine.
He's a dash nine. Oh, my goodness. He's a dash nine.
Now, plus minus isn't the be-all and end-all stat, right? It can have some glaring holes in it for some players.
He's got the worst plus minus in the league right now.
For instance, like when plus minus, a guy could be on the ice when Evan Bouchard makes a mistake and he also gets the minus. Like, that's unfair to that guy.
No, trust me. If that's minus nine, he's eating every single one of them. Like, he should have got minus four for that. He gave up the puck last night in that third goal, that goal of St. Louis, the only team worse in the league right now is the Flames.
I would like to pull all Oilers fans aside and go, whose contract is worse, Bouchard or Nurse?
Bouchard.
Okay.
Bouchard. At least Nurse skates back. Anyway.
Let's get to a different hockey team. Of course, the Toronto Blue Jays have taken the spotlight of a lot of sports fans over the last couple of weeks. Now it shifts over to the National Hockey League once again. And let's do a check-in on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who did not play well last night but did get the win. Luke Fox of Sportsnet joined us, and we wanted to know what Leaf fans will find when that spotlight shines on the Leafs.
They will find a team that's still trying to find its way, and I think that's putting it gently. The Maple Leafs are in the thick of the Atlantic race, which is good news, considering their best hockey has kind of been few and far between. Their power play stinks. I think it's now below 12%, which it used to be and should be a weapon of theirs. Their goaltending's been kind of average, although Anthony Stolarz kept them around last night. And, you know, the new guys are still trying to find their way. They're missing Mitch Marner. There's been lots of line juggling, but they've gathered some points and they're still in the mix, so there's plenty of runway for them to figure it out. But they don't look like a contender yet, and they really should be, because they're the team most fans will recall that pushed the champs, the Florida Panthers, the farthest, all the way to Game 7 last spring. So there's some questions that need to be answered still with this Leafs team.
Is anyone saying out loud that the issues with the Toronto Maple Leafs right now are Mitch Marner related? Like, is anybody willing to admit that, or is that just something coming from outside of Toronto?
Well, outside of Leafs headquarters, for sure. It's almost like Mitch Marner is he who shall not be named.
Okay.
They don't want to address it head on, but you know, you can read the tea leaves. They keep trying right wingers beside Austin Matthews on the top line, and no one has really stuck. And in fact, the guy that had the most success is William Nylander. I mean, that's what happened last night. They had two horrible periods.
They put Nyes and Nylander with him last night, didn't they?
Yeah. Yep, they did. So they kind of loaded up the top line, became a one-line team, and they generated three goals in under 4 minutes and got them back in the hockey game. You know, it works, right? You put that much talent on one line, they're going to be successful. The problem is, you know, to go deep and to be a well-rounded team, which was the grand plan, you load up one line, what do you have below that?
The Oilers.
It's kind of like the old Leon Connor thing, right? Like, let's put them together for a bit, but you know, if we're gonna really win something, then you need depth. That's just how the sport goes. And they're still looking for that. They're still looking for guys to step up and seize some of the opportunity that Marner left in his wake.
Luke Fox of Sportsnet. Sorry to go back to the Jays, but are the Leafs grateful for that Jays run? Because they were not playing good hockey. I know they won four of their last five, but they were not playing good hockey, and the Jays dominated.
Well, they didn't deserve that win last night.
Well, they outshot 25-8, but like, is there a little bit of like the Maple Leafs going, oh, thank goodness a lot of people were watching baseball instead of us for 3 weeks?
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, it was kind of funny, like even in the early season, they would switch to the Jays game on the Jumbotron at Scotiabank Arena during intermission. One of the biggest cheers in one of the early games was when the Jays clawed back and took the lead against the Mariners in one game. And it wasn't on the Jumbotron. It was in the middle of action. And a huge roar went up from the crowd because, you know, fans are obviously watching on their phone or at least keeping tabs on their phone. And it was a really kind of funny situation where even the fans who are in the building were a little bit distracted by the Blue Jays run. And now, you know, that, you know, the city is kind of, you know, they've gone through 48 hours of mourning, I guess, and the sports fans will probably focus a little bit more of their attention on the Leafs, and the heat will probably get turned up unless they use last night's third period as a springboard to get some traction here.
I'm curious if where your mindset is with respect to Toronto sports franchises, because the Leafs find new and exciting ways of disappointing their fans. And I felt like the Jays here's another way we can disappoint Toronto sports fans.
Yeah,
we're going
to
lose.
You know what?
We're going to lose in Game 7 of the World Series. Now, listen, I had a great time following the Jays, but is there a belief that that city is just cursed?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, we got the Raptors in 2019.
Yeah.
That was kind of lightning in a bottle. But then Kawhi peaced out as soon as it was over. They didn't even get a chance to run it back and see if they could repeat because their best player left town. So yeah, certainly. You know, I mean, I'm definitely a Jays fan. I'm a Raptors fan. Hockey, I remain neutral. But just, you know, I'm in the city and talking to fellow sports fans at the local rinks, whether I'm playing shinny or taking my kid to practice or whatever, there is that feeling of feeling cursed. Now, the Jays, I think, is a little bit complicated because they were such a lovable team. And there's a little bit of, you know what, we're not mad at them. We're sad, but
yeah.
We're not mad at them. But,
yeah.
You know, you looked, I think they had 14 runners left on base in that Game 7. And you know, you think, like I believed, you're going home. I know the Dodgers are, you know, a wagon, but you're going home with two chances to close out a championship on your home field. And so many individual moments, whether it's the lodged ball, a leadoff that maybe should have been bigger, you know, Paez, like that catch, oh my gosh, like on the Clement ball. It's just like all these moments, if one of them goes the other way, we're having a parade probably today.
I'm going to relate the Jays back to the Leafs in Game 7 against Seattle. Of course, Vladdy wears the Austin Matthews jersey.
We thought he ended the curse.
It was like, I thought it was hexed. But with Vladdy leading the Jays, are the Maple Leafs getting enough from their captain in Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Their captain in Austin
Has
Matthews.
Has anyone thought to slap skates on Vladdy?
Yeah,
that'd be a sight. I mean, I'm sure there's some fans that have wanted, would rather see that at times. But I mean, Austin hasn't been consistent enough this year. And I think the sentiment is you kind of wanted him to come into this season with his hair on fire, kind of putting to rest any notion that he needed Mitch Marner on his line and he would take a step back now that the guy who has assisted on most of his goals left town. And you wanted to see a little bit more fire from him. Now, I do think we saw it in the third period last night, and it's a reminder of what he can be when he's at his best. You know, he's not a rah-rah guy, so he likes to say that he leads by example. And the team really does go according to him. And part of the lack of jump, pop, energy, whatever you want to call it, through the first 13 games is because he's lacked some of that.
Luke Fox from Sportsnet on the Toronto Maple Leafs thus far this season. But they did come back in a third period after a terrible first two against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Of course, we got Champs and Chumps coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, one champ and one chump. Chump. Locker's not going to be watching the next Jake Paul fight. I can tell you that on Netflix.
How is that still happening? How is that guy continuing to talk people into fake fighting him? And then here's the thing. Netflix, you're putting it on your platform. You're letting that guy on your platform. What are you doing?
Because he makes the money. And that's why the chumps are the sheep who watch these garbage fights.
I heard somebody talking about Jake Paul.
That happened Grey Cup. That was a year ago. That was Grey Cup in BC. It was on every single screen at the team parties was that fight. I was playing mini golf in the back of the BC Lions den while everybody was watching.
Is he helping or hurting boxing? I think he's hurting it.
Absolutely hurting it. absolutely hurting it.
Anyway.
And then there was buffering and people were losing their minds.
Ugh. Anyway. Stop watching that guy fake fight people.
Our champ today, we're champing Luke Wilson at TSN. He did an hour-long podcast, dedicated the whole darn thing to Saskatchewan football. The mecca of Canadian football, as he calls it, right here in Saskatchewan. Sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to shine the spotlight on something that we probably take a little bit for granted because it's just every day. Yeah, football's happening. Oh, yeah, we got the hot. Yeah, we appreciate it. We're like, wow, we're good. But for to have an hour dedicated to Saskatchewan football and having a guy with a platform like Luke Wilson has in Ontario and to outside highlight. Of Saskatchewan to highlight this province and how much we love and cherish.
What's his podcast football? Called? Because it's only three episodes.
Film Don't Lie.
So, podcast. And that's on YouTube.
Yeah,
and,
it's a TSN and, podcast. Yeah. They produce it out of TSN.
You retweeted the link and I retweeted your retweet.
So,
never
shout
thought
out
I'd
to Luke
say
Wilson.
That out loud. But anyway.
Re-exed my
No, ex. Don't. No.